Welcome to Music from the Tower, highlighting the beauty of sacred and classical music. We come to you from the Tower of Hope on the magnificent campus of Christ Cathedral in Garden Grove, California. Now, here's your host, John Romeri.
Hello and welcome to Music from the Tower. This is John Romeri, and today's guest is a very special guest who I just had the pleasure of meeting, Joe Bazouras, the brand new music director of the Los Angeles Cathedral. Welcome, Joe. It's so good to have you.
Thank you, John. It's great to be here.
Oh, I'm so happy to meet you, and I'm so congratulations on your new position. That's a daunting position.
Yes, that's a good way of putting it.
Yes, my gosh. I mean, I'm just a little county organist out here in Orange County, but you're in the big leagues there at the L.A. Cathedral.
Sure. Well, I don't know that I would classify the cathedral down here as out in the county.
Well, yes, we're just a little rural parish, with 12,000 people a weekend.
Right.
But nonetheless, congratulations. What a great honor to have you on our show.
Thank you.
So early in your career there. We'll have to have you back a year later on your anniversary and see how it's going. Huh?
Absolutely.
Well, Joe comes with quite a pedigree. He's got a bachelor's of music in cantoring and conducting and, all sorts of ministerial roles all over the place. So we just want to find out about you in this first segment.
Okay.
And just to kind of say, all right, how did you come to music? I think our listeners always love that, you know, especially those aspiring musicians out there. You know, like sometimes I hear from people, we just had Isabel Demers on the program, and her parents absolutely didn't want her to have anything to do with music.
Oh.
So I think it's wonderful to know that there are actually careers in music, especially sacred music. So tell us about you. Did you grow up in a musical family? Where did you come from?
I did not really grow up in a musical family. I kind of came out of nowhere and was somewhat of a mystery to most of my family. I grew up in Azusa, which is in the San Gabriel Valley in the L.A. area. So I'm an L.A. native.
Wow.
From Southern California.
So right from here in Southern California.
Right from here in Southern California, born and raised. So I am one of four boys. I'm the youngest of the four. And, even from an early age, I think I was drawn into music. I loved to sing as a child, and by about second or third grade, already joined the school choir that was part of the Catholic school that we went to, St. Francis of Rome.
Okay,
in Azusa.
So there was a school choir to
join.
There
was a school choir to join, and a great director at that time, David Phillips, who was a great inspiration to me. He led our
school. Are you listening
choir.
There, pastors?
All right.
This is where musicians come from.
This is where they're born.
A great children's choir with a good director.
This is where they're born, absolutely. And so I sang all throughout my elementary years with that choir. And then about sixth grade, I'd say, when I was about sixth grade, my mother, for her 40th birthday, it was always her dream to own a piano. She had never taken a lesson.
Did she play?
Nope, nothing. But she had always dreamt about buying a piano and taking piano lessons. So for her 40th birthday, she said, "I'm buying the piano." My dad said, "Okay." She bought the piano and said, "I'm going to take lessons." And then just broached it to all four of us. She says, "Do any of you want to take piano lessons?" And I was the only taker. I said, "Yeah, I want to take piano lessons. That would be great." And so I would say, sorry, Mom, to rat you out, but about 6 months in, you know, of both taking lessons, she had dropped out.
She
and I continued
out.
with my lessons and continued taking piano lessons privately all throughout my high school years.
Well, thank you, Mom, for getting that piano. Isn't that great?
That was a huge influence.
Well, it makes a big difference, doesn't it? Every singer should know how to play the piano.
I agree, because it helped out a lot when I got to college and then jumped into music theory classes as part
of
the music degree.
Yeah.
With the piano background, the theory parts came so much easier. And my other friends and colleagues that were just solely vocalists, but vocal majors were just struggling and having a heck of a time.
Well, there's always that joke about, are you a singer or are you a musician? You know, there's there's that wonderful sense, our own children's choir, you know, the ones that really excel are the ones that have had a pile of piano or a bunch of violin lessons. And we run them through a program on the computer called Breezing Through Harmony and make them all study harmony, because it's so important to not just be a singer, but to really be a fine musician. musician who sings. So it sounds like you had a very lucky time.
I did. I had a very lucky time. There isn't, you know, people ask me, oh, you know, you must come from a musical family. And I was like, not really.
And, no, and either.
And I just, my running joke that my family always raises their eyebrows at is that, you know, rather than God evenly distributing the musical gifts amongst the family, he just took them all and plopped them into
you
one person.
You just piled it on you. Okay. Well, we're certainly glad he did. That's excellent. Now, what about the church that you grew up in? Was there an organ? Were you enamored by the organ? Or was there use of the piano? What kind of music did you experience?
You know, it was mainly use of the piano, and there was use of the organ a little bit at one of the Sunday morning masses with the choir. It wasn't that strong, but it was there and it was good. Our parish was a mixture of things. We had at the early mass an organ with a choir, and then there were folk choirs with either piano or guitar accompaniment, and then we're also a bilingual parish at St. Francis of Rome. So then there's Spanish masses also with different accompaniments, usually guitar. So it was definitely a mix and smattering of musical approaches.
And you actually became the music director at that parish. Yes?
I did. After I finished my bachelor's and my master's degree, I worked for about 5 years in corporate world, I guess you would call it, with a company that I was interning at while I was doing my degree. They offered me a job, and I didn't have anything lined up after I finished my master's.
Okay.
So I said, well, okay, I'll take it.
All right, don't listen to that out there, musicians.
Well, you know, it's good to know. Sometimes it takes time, and you just got to keep at it. I worked full-time at that corporation, at Rainbird Corporation. It's an irrigation manufacturer of all
places.
There
you go.
But I worked there for 5 years, and on Sundays was doing music for one or two masses at St. Francis. So I was kind of doing two
living
jobs.
In both worlds.
You know, living in both worlds for a little while. For about 5 years until the pastor at that time decided there was no full-time music director, and he decided that he wanted one. And so he and I started talking, and the conversation kind of kept growing, kind of figuring out how it would work, talking about different things, bringing in the school factor. The school didn't have a music teacher, so they started to kind of combo negotiate things.
Okay.
So I did 75% of my time at the church and 25% of my time at the school being the music teacher for a few years at St. Francis of Rome. That was my first start.
Well, and then you went on to a parish right here in Orange County.
Mm-hmm. I did. As a matter of fact, after a few years at St. Francis, I kind of felt the need to spread my wings a little bit, get out of the hometown and, you know, do my own thing. So I started looking around to see what was out there, what postings might be out. And I came across the posting for St. Martin de Porres in Yorba Linda in the Diocese of Orange. And they were looking for a music director. They also were hiring their first music director full time. They'd had some part time folks,
but never had had a full time position. Well, they have a wonderful music program. We have a boatload of kids that come to us from that parish in our children's choir, and a few even in our diocesan choir. So we're very, very happy that that parish is still flourishing after your fine leadership.
They're doing very well. I know Terry, who's the music director
now. Yes, Terry Backus is one of our very own.
And she mentioned that. She's like, oh, I've got some kids. And
she has a boatload of kids, and she sings in our diocesan choir.
In that diocesan choir, right.
So it makes a big, big difference to be connected to the diocese like that. Yeah. Well, you're going to be connected to a diocese. My goodness. You are at the mothership. You are going to be at the L.A. Cathedral. And I can't even imagine what that feels like. I mean, that's just one of the great cathedrals in the United States.
It's huge, and it's overwhelming. I'm still in the acclimation period.
Keep that honeymoon face going.
Absolutely.
I'm still trying here.
Absolutely.
Even after two full years.
No, yeah. Some of my colleagues have said you're probably going to be in the acclimation phase for like at least a good year, if not
Well,
more.
I know you folks in Radio Land can't see Joe, but he looks like he's about 10. You know, so, and I look like I'm 100. So I am so, so happy for you because you are a very young man. And here you were sent to this very, very, very prestigious position.
Yes.
You know, we look forward to great things coming from the cathedral, and we're certainly going to talk a lot about all of that. All along the way, you participated in all sorts of great musical adventures in Los Angeles. You were part of the Master Chorale.
I was, yes. I was part of the Master Chorale for 16 years. I came in the first season that Grant Gershon took over.
What
after
a wonderful
Paul
musician he is.
Grant
yeah.
is fantastic, and I loved every minute of singing for him. He's a fantastic musician, a great person, and a great leader, very visionary.
And what a way to observe such a master teacher, you know.
Absolutely,
I mean,
absolutely.
All
I've
of those groups, yes, being on the other side of the podium is a very, very good thing. Mm-hmm. That's why we're so pleased so many of our diocesan directors of music are actually in our diocesan choir. It's a whole different experience to be on the other end.
Absolutely.
To prepare your music and to really, observe a director and say, well, I would have done that a little differently, or wow, what a cool idea, you know? So it's a wonderful thing. Well, and certainly, and we'll talk about this more in the next segment, certainly that group and many other groups, you are just in the prime arts center of Los Angeles. So what an opportunity for that cathedral to really start blossoming and open up to everyone. Well, I think we should hear a little bit of music.
Okay.
Now, this isn't you making this music. This is our friend Frank Brownstead, right?
Absolutely, yes. So, yeah, I told John when I arrived, True Confessions, the music this morning is the cathedral choir. So this is the choir at Our Lady of the Angels Cathedral.
So it's your new gang.
It is my new gang. It's my new group that I've taken leadership of. But this is a recording that Frank Brownstead, my predecessor, did in 2010. And it's just it was a collection of various different small short choral pieces that they sing on a pretty frequent basis. So the first one we're going to hear is We Have Seen His Star in the East. It's by John Carter. And I chose this one because this was the first piece that I conducted of the cathedral choir, my very first Sunday at the cathedral. I began my role at the cathedral January 1st, so 2018. It was a brand new year. It was a brand new job. And that meant my first Sunday was the following Sunday, which was Epiphany.
Wow, let's just jump right in there, Joe.
Absolutely, yeah. Right, yeah. So sure, let's just do Epiphany Sunday. Okay. So this is a selection for Epiphany Sunday. This is what we sang for the offertory. At that time, it was the first thing I ever directed with them, and I just so enjoyed myself. I credit my choir because we hadn't had any rehearsal either. I just stepped in on Sunday and we went, and they were fantastic. They went with me. I went with them. And
all right, now just tattle a little bit.
Sure.
Did somebody say, we took it a little slower, or we took it a little faster, or that's not quite the way we did it?
There were a couple of like, well, we typically do this here or that.
I
like,
love it.
Okay, well, let's try this or that.
Oh, good for you. All right, so here we have a piece by John Carter. Tell us the title one more time.
We Have Seen His Star in the East.
And we will enjoy this with the L.A. Cathedral Choir. This is Frank Brownstead conducting, the former director. We're going to talk a lot more about the Cathedral of Los Angeles in just a minute. You're listening to Music from the Tower, and this is Relevant Radio. Music from the Tower. This is John Romero, and I have Joe Bazouras here, the brandy new music director of the LA Cathedral.
Brand new.
Oh, Joe, it's so nice to meet you, and it's so good to have you. Well, we talked about a couple of parishes in which you serve.
Mm-hmm.
You have a master's degree in vocal performance.
I do.
So was that your goal? Were you going to be a singer, an opera star, an oratorio soloist?
That was the thought. Yeah, I think when I first started in my bachelor's and went on to the master's degree program, my thought was potentially being a vocal performer, a soloist. And I did a couple of solo appearances here and there throughout the Southern California area. But as I got out of school and as things kind of developed, I just felt more and more a pull to church music.
Well, lucky us. Oh, that's great. Well, and how important for every choir director. You know, there's so many people that say, well, they're the choir director. And I'll say, well, how many years of vocal study did you? Oh, I never studied voice. Impossible, my friends. You can't do it without having vocal study. I was never an opera star, that's for sure. But I always studied voice, and all my credits of accompanying class I took in vocal studios other than my own. You know, knowing the instrument and knowing the voice is essential for every choir director. Don't you agree?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So you will be able to do wonderful things with the Los Angeles Cathedral Choir just because of the knowledge of your voice. But you had one more position before you landed the cathedral gig.
I did. After I was at St. Martin's, which, by the way, is a fantastic parish, very vibrant community. And my wife and I loved it there. But about 7 years into there, a job description came across my way, a posting. I wasn't looking to move, but I saw the job posting, and it was for the music director at the USC Catholic Center. And I thought, well, that's interesting. I didn't even know USC had a Catholic center.
Yeah, very cool.
And I was there for a couple of years. And so I investigated it a little bit more, and they were, again, it was a brand new position, full-time music director. They'd never had one before. I kind of kept founding my way into those things.
Yeah.
I kept finding new positions that had never been filled before or created before to move on to.
Way to go, Joe.
And so I looked at it. I talked with my wife, Marie, about it. And I said, this looks really interesting. And she's like, well, if you feel kind of drawn to it, why don't you go ahead and, you know, it doesn't hurt to apply and investigate. So
exactly.
I sent off my resume, and I went and interviewed for it. And if you haven't, the Catholic Center is a beautiful place. It's absolutely gorgeous.
I have not been on the campus yet since moving here. I was there years ago. But
it's gorgeous. And it's a brand new, the Catholic Center has been there for quite some time, but the new church, Our Savior Church, and the Caruso Catholic Center, those facilities opened in 2012. They just built and dedicated that church in 2012. So very new.
During your time there?
I actually came on in 2013. So I started about 9 months after the church was dedicated. And it was still in some ways unfinished.
Way to let them get the kinks
out,
Joe.
Yeah, let them do all that stuff, and then I'll come in later. But it was a great jump and leap for me. It was my first time working in any sort of campus ministry type environment.
Yeah, that's another whole animal, isn't it?
It is a whole other animal, and it's a whole other way of life and a way of doing ministry, especially on such an active campus like USC, to try and balance schedules.
But what a wonderful thing to offer those kids something young and vibrant and wonderful to keep their faith alive during their college time.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And the church was dedicated, but it really wasn't complete. There were a lot of things still happening. There were stained glass windows that hadn't been put in, so I saw all that come along. When I arrived as music director, true confessions, there was a rental piano. So that was one of the things.
Well,
that
it gave you a chance to get good instruments.
We got a nice Steinway Model O that we put in there. We wanted to USC is a Steinway school, and we wanted to stay on the same level and offer students the same things that they were getting at the university. So we went with the Steinway and got a really beautiful Model O piano. And there was no organ at all. There was nothing in there. And there wasn't really plans for any sort of actual pipe. So I started investigating with some of my colleagues' help, some other options. And eventually we actually settled on a nice three manual Rogers masterpiece that's in there, and it works lovely for the room. It's really nice.
Yeah, and they can probably always add pipes later on.
Yeah, and they can, exactly. And that was kind of the thought, is like, well, we'll start here, and later down the road, if they want to build and expand, they can. But it was kind of, I had a lot of groundwork to lay.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's good. That's excellent.
So.
And it's kind of fun to do that.
It is fun.
Certainly what we're about here at Christ Cathedral, that's
absolutely
for sure. Well, and it must have been exciting to have a lot of music majors. That's one of the famous music schools of the country. Did you get a lot of the majors come over and participate in the choirs and canter and play instruments?
I did. I had quite a few. So I had quite a few of the vocalists. I had a couple of the choral conducting majors.
Mm.
Coming over and we're
wonderful.
Singing several instrumentalists. I always seemed to never have a lack of strings, which was great. I always had string players coming in.
Oh, wonderful.
When I left to move to the cathedral, I had a and he's still there. You better still be playing there, Daniel. I had a French horn player, and he was great. Daniel's great. So I had a French horn player. I mean, not many parishes have a French horn playing on Sundays.
Oh, that's
and
great.
He's fantastic because he's one of the Thornton majors. And
well, and you'll know all those great players to drag over to the cathedral.
That's right.
Well, let's talk about the cathedral.
Sure.
This is your brand new position. You're about a couple of weeks old here, and there you are at one of the major places, certainly one of the largest cathedrals. You seat about 3,000. Mm-hmm. Opened in 2002, is that correct?
I think
so. Somewhere
along
in there. So you're following somebody that we all know and love all over the country, our dear friend Frank Brownstead.
Yes.
What a wonderful man. And, you know, for once, you don't have to start the thing. It's going.
That's right. I told the choir that the first time. I said, you know, this is the first job I've entered into in the music ministry world, director of music role, where I'm actually inheriting a program. I'm taking on a program that someone has already began. I said it from the other positions, I've always had to lay the groundwork for a full-time position. So I said, this is quite a new experience.
So I'm sure Frank has a wonderful choral library. He's already got staff singers in place. The choir's done wonderful things. We just heard a piece. We're going to hear a lot more from them.
Mm-hmm.
So tell us, you know, some of your hopes and dreams. Let's talk about what's there already. What happens on a given weekend?
On a given weekend, so we have three masses, a bit smaller mass schedule, I think, than down here in Orange.
Okay, I hate you already. We have 12. What's wrong with this picture? Why can't Romary, the old man, go and do three masses a weekend?
We have three masses on Sunday at 8 a.m., 10 a.m., and 12:30 p.m.
We don't want to overwork you, Joe.
Right,
yeah,
right.
Exactly.
Absolutely. 8 a.m. is organist and cantor, and then the cathedral choir, the English cathedral choir, sings at the 10 a.m. mass. So that's the mass that I'm primarily at, directing the cathedral choir. And then our 12:30 p.m. mass is our Spanish mass, and there's an assistant director on board there, Anna Betancourt, who many people know.
Yes,
wonderful
Anna's
musician,
a well-known name here in
well-known musician. She actually works down here as well at St. Polycarp.
Yes, exactly.
And is fantastic. And so she directs the Spanish choir, and they absolutely love her. She's doing a fantastic job with the Spanish choir. So our main groups right now in existence at the cathedral are the cathedral choir, the English choir at 10 a.m., and then the Spanish choir at the 12:30 p.m.
And you mentioned your organist, but one of the finest organists in America,
Sal Soria.
I have to get him down here on the show.
You really should.
He is a great, great player. I've known him for a long, long time through cathedral musicians.
Absolutely.
You know?
And he's become my best friend because he knows so much of what happens at the cathedral.
I'm sure.
So he's my go-to guy on any given day.
He's just a fabulous musician in his own right. I mentioned to you earlier that we just went down there for a big Rudder Festival, and man, Sal just played so beautifully, and he's just a great musician. What a privilege to work with someone of that caliber.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
It just makes the place hum. And so, no Saturday night mass? No Sunday night mass?
No Saturday night mass.
Trying so hard to control my jealousy.
I know. Our Saturdays are usually pretty full with weddings, but there's no Saturday evening mass. And then there's no regularly scheduled Sunday evening mass. However, on many occasions, there's a special event liturgy that usually takes place later on Sunday afternoon for various groups, various occasions. We actually, this coming Sunday, have a mass for all of our religious jubilarians, those celebrating their jubilees. There's a mass at 3:30 that Archbishop is presiding at, and the cathedral choir is singing at that mass. So we'll have an extra one on Sunday to do at 3:30.
Well, and that's kind of the nature of the cathedral in our next segment. We're going to talk about a cathedral. So what are some of the things you hope to do? You're right there in the Arts District. What other collaborations? I went to the opera, which was held in the cathedral last year, the Benjamin Britten Noah's Flood, which was just amazing.
Right.
So tell us some of your hopes.
Well, hopefully you won't miss Jonah and the Whale.
Oh, I've already got it on my calendar.
Good. It's coming up in March, and so we're excited about that. I'm definitely looking to continue the great partnership that's already been established with LA Opera, doing those productions there in the cathedral. I've never experienced them. I'm told they're absolutely fantastic.
And
really, really wonderfully done. And so I'm looking forward to really jumping into that world and to forming those connections and seeing maybe what other, you know, what other possibilities lay in that.
So
connection.
Besides combining with the Orange Cathedral here in Garden Grove at Christ Cathedral and coming here often as a visiting choir yourself, what other partnerships would you like to do, Joe? That was a con job in case you missed it. What other things? Do you want the symphony to come and give a concert in the cathedral? Something with organ and orchestra?
I think
what are the other ideas you have in your head?
I'm so open, and I want as many people to come and experience the cathedral as possible. The LA Master Chorale has sung in the cathedral before. It's been a while since they've been back. I would
probably
love to stretch
have
out to them
and do
and come back and do something at the cathedral. I would love to have the LA Phil come and do something there as well. I don't know that they've ever done anything at the cathedral.
Oh, they must.
Before,
that's such a big space, too. You have so much space. Our cathedral's large, but we don't really have enough space the way it's configured to have a whole, like Mormon Tabernacle wants to come. Well, we don't have enough room to accommodate them, you know, whereas you would certainly have.
I certainly would. And that would be a wonderful outreach. I would love to have them come.
Do you see a concert series in your future?
I do. The concert series have kind of, you know, they waned away a little bit in the last few years, I think, as Frank was approaching his retirement. And that's one of the things that the choir asked me about. And I immediately said, absolutely. I'm ready and up to do concerts and reestablish concerts. Definitely we'll do something during the Christmas time, but I would love to do some larger concerts too during the year, either with chorus and organ or chorus and orchestra.
They have visiting groups.
Do
you see bringing visiting groups as well?
I do. Well, I would love to have the Christ Cathedral Choir come visit
group.
Sometime.
I was kind of thinking of, Talis Scholars, but we'd love to come as well. Absolutely. Well, let's hear a little more music, and then we'll talk a lot more with Joe in the next segment. Tell us what we're going to hear this time.
I believe what's up next is their recording of Sicut Servus Palestrina, and of course it's a classic work, and it's one that's done in many, many churches all over the world, but it still holds to be a favorite of mine. We've already sung it since I've been there.
Okay. Very good. Well, the wonderful Sicut Servus of Palestrina as the deer yearns, a beautiful, beautiful rendition, and we will be right back with a lot more from the brand new music director of the Los Angeles Cathedral. This is John Romero. You're listening to Music from the Tower on Relevant Radio. Listening to Music from the Tower, and we have our special guest here today, Joe Bezouras, the brand new music director of the Los Angeles Cathedral, Our Lady Queen of the Angels. Is that the official title?
That's the official title, yes.
All right. Well, you are now the king of the Queen of the Angels, and that's just fabulous, and we're so happy for you, and I'm so happy to get to know you, Joe.
Same.
You mentioned your wife just briefly, but you also have three wonderful children, yes?
Yes.
Tell us about them.
We do. So my wife Marie and I, we live in La Mirada, California. So actually not, I envied the commute That was, you were talking about the envy of like the mass schedule. I just envied the commute I had to get here because La Mirada is just on the border of Orange County.
Oh, okay.
Took me 15 minutes to get to this
cathedral.
It is not that short a drive for me to get into downtown LA to get to my cathedral.
And how old are your children?
My children, Michael is 4 and Lillian is 2 and Adam is 1.
Wow.
So we're in the thick of it.
They're just starting up here.
Yeah, we have the little
ones. They know that they'll never see you again, right? Do they understand this whole point?
They do.
Yeah.
They do. No, they actually, we keep a pretty good balance, and I've been working very hard to make sure I have a lot of reserved, you know, cut off time from ministry that's
just home and family. Well, that's, you know, I'm dealing with both bi-coastal life here with my family, and it's a very difficult balance, isn't it?
Absolutely.
And part of it is because cathedrals are so busy.
Yes.
You know, let's talk a little bit about life at a cathedral versus a parish. You know, every parish is busy, especially the ones here in Orange County. They're gigantic. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't have very many. I came here from Philadelphia. We had over 300 parishes, but, you know, but they weren't huge. You know, a few were, but not many. But here in Orange County, the parishes are mammoth. You know, so the music directors, and many are full-time, are super busy, but not like a cathedral.
No.
So a part of a cathedral, you just have three masses, so that's not a bad deal.
Right.
But you have everybody and their brother coming down there for other masses.
We do. We do. There's always, you know, in any given week, there's always a group coming to have mass there for various different circumstances with various different groups of people. And so part of that balancing act, which you know, is making sure that everything is being taken care of. You know, are we providing the music as the cathedral musicians? Are they bringing their own musicians? If they are bringing their own musicians, then what do they need?
What
are they bringing? What are they doing? And making sure, like, everything is ready.
Kosher. Yes.
Absolutely. Especially if the Archbishop is saying Mass. I mean, you definitely, I mean, want to make sure that everything is taken care of and everything is good to go. So there's always that balancing act of keeping all those things together. Some of them are quite small. We have a small chapel on the basement floor.
St. Viviana's Chapel.
Where I actually just played for a Mass last night for our Cardinals Council, which is a small group of our benefactors. They were having a Mass there yesterday evening. So it could have been anywhere from that small to, say, last Saturday at the end of the One Life LA March, which happened in downtown LA. We had the Mass, or the Requiem Mass for the Unborn, which is a tradition that's been happening for many, many years. It was not the cathedral musicians. It was John Bonaducci, who is a music director in the LA Archdiocese. It's his work and something he's been doing with a group for many, many years. And so they came and did the music for that. The church was packed. And so we had that going Saturday evening at 5:00. Anywhere to this, like I said, this coming Sunday, we have many of our religious sisters and brothers coming and priests coming that for their religious jubilees and celebrating their jubilee year. And so there's a Mass with the Archbishop at 3:30, which the cathedral choir is singing for, that we'll be at doing that Mass at 3:30 on Sunday. So
there are all those wonderful liturgies from religious jubilarians to pro-life Masses to wedding anniversary Masses just a myriad of things to the World Day of the Sick. There are all those kind of Masses. And then there are all the stational and pontifical liturgies.
Absolutely.
Of ordinations and chrism Mass. Yeah. And, you know, so a cathedral has a particular responsibility. And you mentioned the Archbishop, who, of course, are Bishop Van and your Archbishop Gomez, the chief liturgist of the diocese, which means for us cathedral folks that we have to make the liturgies absolutely as perfect as we can.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. And that's always our striving point. I have a great team that's already there at the cathedral and has they have a wonderful process and method already set up, and so I'm just kind of being indoctrinated into it, so that way I know that when the Archbishop is saying Mass, or for really any cathedral liturgy, there's a list of you know, must-dos and things to fill out and things that need to be taken care of, and things that have to happen and are pre-planned and everything like that. There's really a hope that there's nothing left to surprise.
Right, exactly.
Cathedral liturgy.
Well, and sometimes it's hosting other musicians
yes.
that maybe don't exactly have that careful eye. Well, we've yes. always done it this way. Well, it doesn't matter what you've done.
Absolutely.
It matters about the actual rite of the Roman Church.
Absolutely.
And so for us here at Christ Cathedral, it's a bigger transition. Mm-hmm. You know, we have Little Holy Family Cathedral. It's a wonderful space, but it's just a little parish church that grew up to be a cathedral.
Right.
As this diocese was grown. So they don't have that sense of what a real cathedral's role is, to be the musical and liturgical center of the diocese.
Right.
But L.A. certainly has that, especially now that the cathedral is there and has been established by Frank. But that sense that it's not only the place where music is done perfectly and that music and liturgy are done absolutely correctly, but it's also the place that I feel is sort of the bastion of the treasury. That's one of my little watchwords. It's the place where you can hear all of the treasury mm-hmm. of the Roman Rite, all of our Gregorian chant, all of the pieces of Palestrina, all the great motets of Bruckner, all the real Catholic music that belongs to us that we either commissioned or brought into existence. And you know, the idea that sometimes people in our Catholic parishes only hear music that's 5 years old,
mm-hmm.
or the latest thing they heard on some OCP demo CD.
Right.
And those of us in cathedrals have a much bigger responsibility.
We do.
What do you feel about that?
It's a tremendous responsibility, but it's one that's exciting because I'm one that loves to just dive in and embrace a wide range and array of music. And of course, I have classical and choral roots. So I have such a huge affinity and love for all of those works, for the early Renaissance works throughout and some other, you know, the choral works that have grown into our Catholic and are part of our Catholic treasury, as you mentioned. The Gregorian chants, I love chant. I absolutely love singing chant. And so I'm excited to see how that fits in. And then balancing that, I think that one of the challenges, I guess I would say, that we have in our area, both in Orange and in L.A., being in Southern California, is we're so diverse in our makeup of ethnic cultures. And so one of the things that I'm looking at as well is how do we become that everything to everyone to reflect the treasury of the Catholic Church, of its music, keeping that alive, making sure that it's staying alive and emanating into other parishes, and then also acknowledging and incorporating the cultural traditions of some of our other communities that have, you know, other beautiful gifts in their own musical rites and heritage that have a wonderful life of their own in Catholic liturgy. And it's a hard balance to try and strike.
It's an incredibly hard balance.
It's a really hard
balance
to try and strike because you kind of have to be all to everything, which is going to be an exciting but also a challenging mission.
For me, it's the most challenging thing I do. Mm-hmm. We celebrate in five languages mm-hmm. every single weekend. And to somehow instill in all of those cultures that it's not about being Spanish and it's not about being Vietnamese, it's not about being English, it's not about being Chinese, but it's about celebrating the Roman Catholic Church. You know, now, I just was at a conference last year in Rome when we talked about the 50th anniversary of Musica Sacrum. And that, of course, is when everyone could begin to use their own language. So until that point, everywhere in the world, they were singing Latin and Gregorian chant and Palestrina and motets. You could go to India and you'd still hear Gregorian chant. You could go to China or Vietnam or any of those places. But all of a sudden, everyone could use their own music.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I came here, I quickly realized that everyone at the Vietnamese liturgy only sang songs in Vietnamese. So they're celebrating their own culture and their own life and their own world of music. But somehow there was no tie to the Roman Church. They'd never sung the Agnus Dei, a simple little chant. They had never sung any of that. So somehow incorporating all of that. And, you know, what we're finding here at the cathedral, last night we did a quadrilingual mass for celebrating the pro-life mass. And two parts of the Mass, the Kyrie and the Agnus, we sang Gregorian chant, which was the one thing we all knew.
Mm-hmm.
Now, 2 years ago when I arrived, they didn't all know them. Not one person in the Spanish Mass sang a Latin chant. Not one person in the Vietnamese Mass sang a Latin chant. Not one person in the Chinese Mass sang a Latin chant or Korean. But now they did. You know, so somehow it's almost like going backwards. Mm-hmm. You know, now Latin becomes the unifying language, and our own language of Gregorian chant and music somehow becomes that unifying thing, because it says to all of us that we're Catholic. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know how you feel about all that, but it is a huge struggle to try to say, okay, we're going to have this reading in all these languages we're going to have. And all of a sudden, the idea that keeping prayer, you know, that is it really prayer, or is it just the United Nations on display? Or is it, for me, it's a very difficult balance. I really am struggling still to this sure. day, as all of our liturgists here in Orange County are. We have so many languages, as do you.
We do. We do. In the Archdiocese, I believe it's still the correct count that on any given Sunday, the Mass is celebrated in 42 different languages in our Archdiocese. So it's such a huge, vast array of cultures that right. come together in Los Angeles. And it is. It's a difficult challenge to find those unifying elements, and especially when you're going to have a liturgy where it is bringing together many different cultural communities.
Which, of course, is the role of the cathedral.
It is the role of the cathedral.
You know, if this were just still St. Callista's Parish, they could just have their Mass in Vietnamese, and that would be it.
Right.
But like last night, like so many times, we just installed ordained a brand new bishop who was Vietnamese. But it couldn't just be a Vietnamese fest.
Right.
You know, it had to be the real Roman Rite. We sang the entrance antiphon. We sang the in Gregorian Latin. We sang a brand newly commissioned piece of the communion antiphon text. Mm. You know, so all of those pieces of the Roman Rite had to be present.
Right.
But yet we also sang some wonderful Vietnamese pieces,
right.
which this bishop selected.
That's right.
You know, we commissioned a brand new piece from a Vietnamese composer mm-hmm. in Vietnam. We reached out and got the accompaniment to another one from Vietnam.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a very delicate balance as a communion of these nations come together at a cathedral. And it's the cathedral
Absolutely.
Liturgies and it's the cathedral music directors that have to pull this off.
That's right. That's right. And it is. It's an exciting, to me, it's an exciting challenge. I don't know, maybe because I've grown up here and have had so much kind of experience in this world. It, to me, as a music director, I've always, whenever I approach one of these larger stational liturgies and I know there's going to be multiple different languages, it's always kind of like a fun, like, I don't know, fun is the right word, but it's a great, exciting challenge to me to look at the entirety of a liturgy and say, okay, you know, how is everything going to fit together and tie together and not just be this kind of like random chunks, you know, it all has to be unifying it has to be one unified liturgy.
Yes.
So how am I going to take all these pieces?
And it has to somehow be prayer.
And it has to be prayerful.
You know,
that's
exactly. the very tricky part.
Exactly.
All right, we're going to hear another diverse piece, a piece of gospel music, American gospel music. Tell us about it.
Yes. So this is There Is a Balm in Gilead, and this arrangement is by Dawson. It's one that's done has been done by the Cathedral Choir many times. We are going to be doing it in a few weeks. Just note that, Cathedral Choir. We're going to
okay.
be doing that in a few
Pay
weeks.
Attention.
It's coming up. And so this is one that's also on the recording. And again, like we just said, I mean, it's a reflection of how vast an array there is in our communities,
diversity.
Not only in languages, but also in style. And we have a lot of great African-American communities that do spiritual and gospel music on any given Sunday, because that's the language of music that they speak and how they pray. And so we're weaving that in there as well.
We will be right back. Here is a little piece by the Cathedral Choir, Frank Brownstead conducting. This is Music from the Tower. We will be right back.
Thank you.
back to the music from the tower. This is our final segment with Joe Bazuras, our wonderful music director at the LA Cathedral. Joe, it is such a pleasure to have you, and we've talked about cathedrals. We've talked about your own life and how you came to music. We've talked about the daunting task of taking on this this great cathedral here in the United States, and we know you're going to just do an amazing job there. Just at the end of the last segment, we were really talking about the incredible challenge of multicultural liturgies, which, you know, every cathedral musician faces, at least English, Spanish. But those of us here and in some of the other great dioceses, I know that Bishop Van encountered a lot of Vietnamese in Fort Worth. Houston has a lot of Vietnamese, but a lot of Asian cultures are really coming to our country and taking an active role. Certainly what keeps our Catholic population huge here in Southern California. So it is a challenge for any cathedral musician. And tell us more ways you hope to tackle all that. And
so as I kind of start to tackle all this and kind of put my hands around it, the biggest thing that I think I can do to help in our cathedral is to start creating a lot more outreach to the parishes and to have them have more connection to the cathedral and start developing those connections with music directors in the cultural groups that are out there in our archdiocesan community. It's one of the things that I love about down here in the Diocese of Orange. There's so much connectivity between the parish level and the diocese. In part, I think that's easier because it's a smaller diocese than the Archdiocese of Los Angeles. It's much, much more vast and many, many more parishes. And I think because of the size of our archdiocese, it's difficult for parishes to feel like they're connected to the cathedral because it seems so far away and just kind of like, oh, that's what they do over there. Sure. But that's the cathedral. And so my hope and dream as I get going here and in the next few years is to really start networking out and reaching out, inviting guest choirs to come in just as you do, and sing at masses and have those be parish choirs coming in and starting to create that relationship with all of them. To say, this is your cathedral, this is your home as well.
And making the cathedral a music center.
Absolutely.
I mean, you don't have a diocesan choir. Do you hope to start that?
I would love to start.
Children's choirs?
I would love to start both of those. So you're right. They don't exist. And I love the model that you've already started to develop down here in Orange. And I would love to develop a similar model up in Los Angeles where...
Well, it is more difficult in a bigger diocese. I mean, we only have 60 parishes, even though they're gigantic. But having those parishes, we have 40 parishes represented in our diocesan choir.
That's wonderful.
So that's a good percentage. And many of them are music directors.
Right.
You know, and the idea was the music director and perhaps the four or five best singers in each choir would come to the cathedral.
Right.
And, you know, on a regular basis, not just when we needed a choir for Chrism Mass, but every other Monday we rehearse with our diocesan choir. We're about 94 strong. We can grow up to 125 in our new cathedral, but they will be the ones that sing World Marriage Day and Day of the Sick and, you know, be on hand for ordination of bishops and in a sense musically represent all of the parishes in a very special way. They have repertoire, so when emergencies happen, we're ready to go. We don't have to say, oh, well, who should we call? What parish choir should we get out of mothballs?
Right.
But, you know, we've got a choir that really represents our diocese, and the same with the children. Our children come from now 22 parishes, and that's growing. We just started last Saturday a preparatory choir. You know, often these kids come and audition and we say, you're not really quite right for our performing group. Go home and, you know, keep working in your parish choir. But some parishes don't have a parish children's choir.
Right.
So, you know, we've started our own preparatory choir. Pat Flahive is our wonderful, we stole from L.A., who comes down on Saturdays and does our prep choir. But we've had choir camps.
Mm-hmm.
We've had all sorts of vocal training at the cathedral. We've had theory classes, solfege classes, everything we can in addition to concerts and choirs to bring them onto the campus, you know, to bring them here and to continually see that the cathedral is the center. It's the place where you can get education, where you can hear great sacred treasury of music, It's a place where you can learn more about music, you know, and I'm sure as you develop the LA Cathedral Choir, that model will be something that you'll adopt as well. It's such a great place with such a beautiful facility.
It is. It's a beautiful facility. And I think that's one of the, you know, beyond the facility, I think one of the things you pointed out is that being in the heart of Los Angeles, it's and such a huge and diverse population, there's so many gifts. I think that's one of the most exciting and appealing things to me is finding those ways to tap into our archdiocesan community at large and finding ways to bring them together and bring them to the cathedral in these ways to unify them and to build them up. And, you know, through an archdiocesan choir and other events and things like that, because then once they experience those things at the cathedral, they're then built up and then they're sent back to the parish and then they begin sharing those gifts at the parish level. And it just becomes this reciprocal type relationship, which is what I would really, really dream for the archdiocese, is that there's just this wonderful giving and taking as we go through, both from the parish to the cathedral, but then from the cathedral to the parish, and that there's just this wonderful connectivity and relationship with the cathedral at its heart, but also with the parishes of the archdiocese as being an integral part of that mission of the cathedral. And
part
I think that's
lives,
part
you know,
of their lives.
Somehow
absolutely.
It's not just them down there downtown.
Absolutely.
But there's that connection that, you know, I think the music program has made the folks out in the parishes really love coming to the cathedral.
Yes.
You know, when they come here, maybe with their parish visiting choir. You know, and it's so much fun when the visiting choir comes and they say, well, we learned this piece because our director's in diocesan choir. So we're singing it now on our visit to the cathedral.
Right.
And with
right.
them came 200 or 300 people this past Saturday from this parish and that parish. You know, we love having visiting choirs. And, you know, I'm certain you have the very same thing. My own children's choir came years ago from St. Louis and we sang with Frank's, we sang the 8 o'clock mass by ourselves.
Right.
And then we sang with the cathedral choir. Choir at the 10:30 or whatever it was, and it was so much fun for my kids and to be in that great cathedral. Sal played so beautifully,
mm-hmm.
and it was fun for them to work under Frank, and it's just a thrill for people to come. And we've had all sorts of visiting choirs here as well. Notre Dame choir came from the university here, and last summer we had Libera from London. And it's just great to have people coming onto the campus. It stimulates our own choirs and, you know, it's just a wonderful thing. It's one of the things that cathedral musicians get to do and enjoy, you know.
It's true. It's true. I know. And it is a really exciting part of the job and an enjoyable part of the job is that so many people, especially at Our Lady of the Angels, it's such an established cathedral that, I mean, already in the weeks that I've been there, I've already gotten several email requests of various different choirs from all over the country
that are touring,
you know,
right.
And they're like, oh, we're going to be, you know, in LA. We would love to sing at the cathedral. Can you fit us in? And I'm like, wow. I'm like, so, you know, now I'm kind of trying to balance that part
yes,
of it.
Yes, put it all in. Yeah.
And bring it all in. And then on top of that, I should mention too, is that we, and this is something Sal started and is still going on. Quite strongly, as we have our Wednesday organ recitals after
and
our
what time is
mass.
That on Wednesday for it, our radio it,
sure,
listeners?
Sure, it follows our 12:10 daily mass. We have mass Monday through Friday at 12:10 p.m. and then directly following daily mass on Wednesdays, there's an organ recital
every single week.
Every single week. Every
that
single week.
Is fabulous. With organists from all over the world.
All over the world, absolutely. Sal himself does a few of them here and there, but he does a fantastic. Miraculous job of organizing and coordinating organists from all over the country and all over the world that are going to be happening to be in Los Angeles. And, you know, while they're there, they would love to do a recital. And he just
of course, it's a magnificent
programs them all
organ.
In. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. And I've already listened to several of the recitals, and they're absolutely just a joy to sit and listen to after mass and just take it all in and feel the power of that beautiful instrument. That's
so they could come eat their lunch on your plaza and go in and enjoy that magnificent organ.
Absolutely.
Well, Joe, I can't wait to have you back a few months from now and find out all the great things that you have done and established. We
Absolutely.
Got you at the infancy of your tenure. So thank you for coming right over to Orange County and our wonderful campus here at Christ Cathedral. We're so happy to have you. I'm so pleased to get to know you. I look forward to working with you in many, many projects together. It's going to be a ton of fun. And I can't wait till your cathedral choir comes here to our campus to sing, especially once we open in 2019, but even until then, in our arboretum. But Joe, thank you so much for being with us. It's just an absolute pleasure to have you. And we'll look forward to great things coming to the Cathedral of Our Lady of the Angels. So Joe, before we finish, give us one more piece from this wonderful album with Frank Brownstead.
Sure. So we're going to close today with Draw Us in the Spirit's Tether. And it's, again, a piece that the choir has sung many times. And it's coming up. Actually, we'll be singing it for the Mass for Religious Jubilarians this coming Sunday.
Wonderful. By Harold Friedel.
Beautiful. Yes, by Harold Friedel. And it's a beautiful, absolutely beautiful, beautiful piece. And I hope you enjoy.
You've been listening to Joe Bezouras here on Music from the Tower. This is your host, John Romeri. And until our next episode, I encourage you, I beg you, to go out and to listen to music, great music in live performance, maybe at the L.A. Cathedral.
Absolutely.
Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.